Thanks for joining me for this week's episode of the Sun on the Strip podcast, presented by Greenspun Media Group. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer and columnist for the Las Vegas Sun, here every Wednesday to give you an update on all the entertainment news, straight from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, plus a compelling conversation with a performer or personality from this dynamic Vegas showbiz landscape. It's the first week of February, and rumors are swirling that the state of Nevada could soon update the COVID restrictions that currently cap audiences for Vegas shows at just 50 people. There's a lot of talk out in the entertainment community that things could loosen up a bit in the next couple of weeks since the virus infection rate in southern Nevada is leveling off a bit. But it's all just talk for now, and that means it's still pretty slow in the showbiz scene. Now's a great time to remind you to read my Curtain Up column every Friday at LasVegasSun.com to truly stay on top of all the fun stuff that's still happening on and off the Strip. The one big bit of entertainment news this week was the least surprising announcement ever. Garth Brooks will not continue with his planned concert at Allegiant Stadium on February 27th. His show has been rescheduled for July 10th in the hopes that vaccination will take hold by the summer and all those 65,000 ticket buyers can travel to Vegas, walk through the doors of Allegiant Stadium for the first time, and see one of the biggest names in music do his thing. Remember, this show was originally slated to be the first really big event at the new stadium. It was initially planned for August, even before the Las Vegas Raiders took their new home field for the first time. If Garth does play there in July, it'll be a huge month for concerts in Vegas as Usher is slated to open his Coliseum at Caesar's Palace residency the very same week. People are still coming to Vegas every week and weekend and enjoying the live entertainment that is happening along with casino fun, restaurants and bars and attractions. So I was thinking, how about a quick update on which strip resorts are open all week long and which ones are closed midweek? I thought that would be useful. So the only major resort in the strip area that's still completely closed is the Palms. Everything else is open, and most resorts are open all the time, just like they used to be. Three strip spots are only open Thursday through Sunday, and those are the Mirage, Encore, and Palazzo. It's important to point out that Wynn, which is attached to Encore, is always open, and Venetian, which is attached to Palazzo, is also always open. Then there are five resorts that closed hotel operations during the week, but are keeping the casinos and their non-hotel amenities open, like restaurants. Those are Park MGM, Mandalay Bay, Planet Hollywood, The Link, and The Rio. Again, those ones are all the way open on the weekend. Just the hotels are closed during the week. Now that you're fully prepared on what to expect when you hit the Strip, let's get into a super fun interview this week with not one, but two incredibly talented, pretty hot, and absolutely fascinating Las Vegas entertainers, and they happen to be married to each other. Di Richards is a singer in the Tenors of Rock show, a strip staple for almost 5 years now. He's one of the originals that brought this classic rock music tribute to Vegas from the UK, and it's most recently been performed upstairs at the Planet Hollywood Resort inside the Sin City Theater. Tenors of Rock used to be at Harrah's, and during that time, I went to check out one of the neighboring shows, X Country, and that's how he met Olivia Nicole, now Olivia Richards. She's the dance captain in that very popular country music themed burlesque style review. X Country was actually the first casino show to reopen on the Strip last year after the shutdown, and it has managed to maintain a robust schedule of performances since October. So Olivia has stayed busy, and this weekend, Di will be back on stage too. Tenors of Rock is still dark, but he's formed a band called Original Chaos with some of his fellow Vegas musicians, and they'll be playing Carnival Court, the outdoor bar at Harrah's, this Friday and Saturday. So hopefully it will be a bit like old times for this couple at Harrah's this week, and we talked all about all that stuff and how they're doing in these crazy times. This is a good one, so enjoy. This is Olivia and Di Richards. So a dancer and a singer meet and fall in love. It sounds like a Vegas fairy tale, right? Is that pretty accurate? Is that what's happened here?
Yeah, it kind of did.
Throw in a DM on Instagram and you pretty much got the whole story. And that's exactly how it happened. You can tell it. You tell it how it happened.
So Die and a couple of his friends from the show came down one day to see X Country. So Tenors of Rock was performing in the big theater at Harrah's, and X Country, you know, was downstairs in the smaller cabaret theater, and they had a 7 o'clock show, and they came down and afterwards and watched our show. And we knew that we had guests in, and they came and we did a meet and greet afterwards. And evidently he was hanging out with one of our backstage guys that works both shows the next night, and asked for my name and had to evidently do some thorough Instagram stalking to find me. And then once he did, he DM'd me, and
I'm not shy about it. I'm proud about it. I put the work in.
We had our first date like 5 days later, and we were pretty much attached to the hip ever since.
We moved in together 3 months after that.
Yeah, pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty much. I slid into her DMs, and it actually worked. So that was good. I went into your filtered request.
He did, yeah.
I'm sure this is not the first time someone has gone to X Country and done some hunting around and some messaging. So what's the difference here? What?
Di was a gentleman.
My accent, maybe? No.
Well, I can't hear an accent through Instagram, but he was just very gentlemanly. It was actually like, is he just trying to be friends with me, or is he like interested? I couldn't actually tell at first.
Oh, I was interested. I was very much interested, yes.
But I've always had a little bit of a thing for rock stars, the rock star thing. I think every girl has that little rock star fantasy. And so I was like, oh, maybe we could be friends. And then obviously it was quickly much more than that.
Mm-hmm. Pat on the back for me. Thank you very much. Take that one.
Props. And when did you guys get married?
So we got married. We got married twice. So basically at the time, about 8-9 months into our relationship, we knew that we wanted to be together. We knew all that. And it was a tricky time at that moment for Tenors of Rock. It had gotten a little quiet, like a lot of shows in those bigger rooms. I'm sure, you know, Vin from Bronx would say the same when they were at the Link. And it's just tough when you've got another show in there that does well for three nights, then you've got to make up the numbers for the other three nights that they're not there. It was getting a tad slow. So I think, with the way that it works, if they had shut, I would have been deported because my visa was attached to the show. So we just thought that it was safer that if we eloped, I could stay legally in the country. If the show shut, I wouldn't be able to work, but I knew I could stay. And that was what was important at the time, was just being able to stay together. And then we always planned to do a wedding because my parents and my family are very important to me and us.
You know, the funny thing is we had planned to keep it under wraps, just tell our, you know, my best friend was there as our witness. We just wanted to tell our families. And then we just kept getting so excited, and after a couple cocktails, blurting it out to people. So everybody pretty much knew by the time we actually got our.
But then, yeah, then I always wanted to propose properly and have a wedding. So we planned to get married last year in April.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a New Orleans wedding, and we were just inviting like our closest family unit and friends, and we were gonna like have a really fun, you know, destination wedding.
We love New Orleans. So.
Yeah, and so it was getting to about March, when everything shut down, about March 15th.
The week after we shut down.
And we had our fingers crossed. We thought, you know, maybe if this shutdown lasts a few weeks, everybody will go back. And we all know that's not how it happened.
It seems so ridiculous now, but yeah, at the time, that's what we all thought.
Yeah, 2 weeks off sounds nice. It was like a nice little holiday, little vacation. We'll have a bit of time off. We'll rest and go back.
Yeah, it was, you know, performers don't get an off season, you know? So for us, we were kind of excited. Like, this is going to be great. We get to chill out for a little while. And little did we know, we'd be chilling out way too long.
So yeah, we had to cancel it once, and then we rescheduled it for September.
Yeah, thinking the world will be back to normal by then.
4 months away, it's plenty of time. And and then we got to May, and we were thinking, New Orleans was, you know, it's such an, you know, overpopulated place. It's you know, it does have some communities that aren't as well off as others. So they do struggle with the healthcare system there. It's pretty well known about that. So they struggled with COVID at the beginning, and the venue we had, beautiful, just off Bourbon Street, a beautiful jazz venue. It's like an old style French house, wasn't it? That was a bar upstairs. We had the whole top floor, and they just were shut. They were closed. So they, you know, at that point they were only allowing like 10 people into each bar. And it was like, well, how are we going to,
it wouldn't be fun for us to have our families there.
How are we going
to
do this?
We'll be at this bar. Y'all be at that bar, you know? But we just, you know, after a while, we just kind of realized we wanted to just do it. You know, we eloped to make sure we could, you know, ensure his resident status. And so that was done. We were already married. So by this point, we just wanted to have a celebration with our families, you know. And at the time, we had scheduled it for September. We canceled the New Orleans thing. And then we just decided, you know, at the time, the restrictions in Vegas were 50 people max. You know, the restrictions weren't as strict as they were now. So we've had a very safe wedding. We had
it was all outside.
Yeah, we had it to the backyard, but it turned out to be really, really sweet. And
my family had to zoom in because there was no way my dad was currently going through his cancer treatment at the time, his prostate cancer. So he wouldn't have been able to come over anyway. But it was strange. It was an odd one. I never thought we'd do anything like that without everybody there, but it worked.
We took temperatures before people came in. You know, we made sure we had masks provided.
It was a brilliant day. We jumped back in our Uber back to Green Valley Ranch. We stayed for a few days before we went on honeymoon. And the driver must have thought that we didn't like each other because we just got in and just sat
We were
there.
So exhausted by the so end of exhausted. It. We just like, you know.
And all wedding days are tiring because we
That's
were just
how it goes, yeah.
Everyone felt safe and we didn't have 30 people, probably not, you know, and we had plenty of room. Everyone was spaced out. And then it was the next 2 weeks of going, I hope no one gets it from us because we really tried to be careful. And, you know, you're looking around and you see the casinos open and you think, well, if that's okay, then it's not justifying anything. But we felt like we were as physically safe as we could be.
Yeah.
And I think we did.
And no one got it.
No one got it. So
we're great.
Yeah. We're good.
Well, belated congratulations, and here's to doing some makeup ceremonies for all those
Thank
people.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah.
We'll do lots of those.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Olivia, you've been working steady for a while now. Di, you've been popping in here and there and doing different shows.
Yeah.
And you're going to be back this weekend for Super Bowl weekend, but not with Tenors of Rock, with a different little side project that you have developed over this time.
How did this come
together?
I'm not one to sit still, and I find it tough to kind of wait for things to come to me. It's never been our mantra since we started Tenors of Rock. We very much went out knocking doors and poking people and bothering people until someone let us do something. So I feel like the longer I stay in Vegas, it's such a tight-knit community. That's not a negative, but if I feel like you have to try to barge your way into that tight-knit community so you get noticed more and then you start to get asked to do more things. So I just wanted to put together something. Me and Colin Cahill are really good friends, and he's got a great voice, a wonderful performer. Comes with his own set of fans with the shows that he does. And then Chris Cicchino and Tim Sorbs, who are just amazing musicians, and obviously Rock of Ages, and Tim's done lots of things too, a very talented musician. So we just, lucky enough that Damien Costa and Caesars give us an opportunity to do Carnival Court because it's outside and we can have less people. And it's just great. It's a long show. It's 5 hours worth of, you know, tip my hat off to those guys who do that 5 times a week. It's hard work. We started, we had to stop because the capacity went down again. But I think, you know, the cases are dropping now. So I think we're back this Thursday and Friday, Friday and Saturday, sorry, at Carnival Court. And yeah, we're looking to do, I'm pitching us to do a few more other things elsewhere with other people who have been really helpful. And I think it's fun to do something new. I've been doing the same thing for over a decade now, and it's nice to do it with new people. It's nice to do songs I haven't done before. It's good fun to not have the pressure of selling tickets. It's a nice feeling to just go. People haven't paid to get in. They're here to enjoy themselves. It's way more relaxed than a staged show, yeah, as much as I miss that too. But it's good fun. It's just good fun to get back out, and because you think you don't miss it until you do it again. And then you go, oh, okay. Yeah, this is what we're good at. This is what our job is, you know? And it's,
that's a pretty big test for, you know, you're a new band essentially. And here you're playing for hours at a time, mm-hmm, taking little breaks here and there. That's gotta be
we're rehearsing as we're going. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We're learning as we go in. And luckily with those boys, and particularly Chris and Tim, they're such well-traveled musicians, you know, they're immensely talented. And Chris Cicchino is easily one of the best guitar players I've ever met. And he's phenomenal. And his hair speaks for itself. You know, it's quite phenomenal, the volume he gets at his age. He won't like me saying that. You know, it's fun. It's really good fun. And I'm excited to keep it going if and when Tenors comes back anyway. Because it's just, you know, now we have a green card. I'm allowed to do more things. And I don't want to be tied to just the one thing. It's nice to get out and let people know I'm available to do things.
Yeah. You know, in 2018, whenever we eloped and, you know, once you apply for that green card, you're not able to travel. You have to stay in America. And also, you know, we were with his previous visa, he was tied to Tenors of Rock. So the good news is all those boys are really close and they all support each other's independent projects. There's no ill will. So he was excited to sort of step out. But, you know, once COVID hit and we got the green card, it was just sort of ironic because the things we were waiting to do, which was travel and to, for him to work, there was none of that. So, you know, he hasn't seen his family in quite a while. So
year and a half now.
We're getting eager for the borders to open so that we can travel back home to see. I've never been to Wales.
No, you haven't been yet. Not yet. Oh, they'll love you. but yeah, it's been fun. It's exciting. And it's a fresh thing to be able to go out and say, consider me for anything you ever need. You know, I'm open for doing anything. I don't have to be down the front. I'm a saxophone player too. So I miss playing that a lot. And
this is like one of the most multi-talented people you'll ever meet. He can do everything.
I cook, I clean.
yeah, we just bought a house and he's so handy.
I've still got paint in my nails.
He's like singing and entertaining me while he's like painting my accent wall. It's great. It's great.
You might want to tone it down just a little bit, dude, because I've been married for 12 years now and you know, you don't want to set the standards too high right off.
I already have, if I'm honest, because even today we got Chris Giacchino's coming around and see our new house. And, you know, I got stressed thinking I've got too much. I've said I'll do it all. And I don't think I will have time to do it.
He woke up and I was like, this looks great, but I could use another coat.
Okay. Yes, you're right. I'll take that after this. I'm taking a few steps back and saying I'm busy for some reason.
Yeah. You know, Olivia, X Country was the first show in a casino to reopen at Harrah's, and you guys obviously have kept the shows going through the changing restrictions and strange times. Has performing during the pandemic been a bit of a roller coaster so far?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. So many of my friends are still unemployed and there are not very many performers, especially in America, doing live performance right now. So we are overwhelmingly grateful to be some of the few performers. But yeah, there is a lot of adjustments with the current restrictions. And, you know, the number one priority for us is to A, get out there and perform, and B, be safe about it. You know, we're very strict about all of the guidelines that have been put in place. Backstage, there's a lot of guidelines. I mean, you should see how much like sanitizing spray we go through just trying to make sure, you know, we have our 6 feet apart in our dressing room. We're lucky that we have a really big dressing room that gives us that ability to keep distance. And, but it is an adjustment, you know, we're wearing masks and our show is a pretty athletic show. You know, we are dancing our butts off. Absolutely. And we're wearing these masks that, you know, it took a long time to adjust to breathing and how to breathe and how to like keep yourself calm during that. And
you're used to it now.
Yeah. You know, the first time I was so frustrated, the very first time I did a show with them, and then you get used to it and you learn how to like, you know, how to breathe on stage, breathe during your moments, you know, take a moment backstage. And like I said, it's a very fast paced show. You know, our numbers are shorter and it's a short cast. It's a small cast, only five of us. And so if you're not on stage, you're backstage changing to get ready to go back on stage, you know, so there's not a lot of recovery time. And that being said, because there aren't many shows open, we've been really lucky to add extra 7 PM shows. You know, we've been strictly 10 PM for the last about 5.5 years that it's been open, and we've added 7 PM shows and we're doing two shows a night, some nights. And it's crazy how we went from nothing to just go, you know. But another adjustment is just that, you know, the audience is really far away. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of a disconnect, but if anything, it's challenged us as performers to how can we reach those people in the back? How can we, you know, they're in Vegas to be entertained. Everyone's going through hard times right now. So the fact that they're there just shows that people are craving live entertainment. So audiences in masks, they're all spread apart, you know, and unfortunately we can't do meet and greet. So, you know, just to keep safe, but you know, it's really nice to like be challenged as performers, to look at the people as far away as they are and try to make that connection and try to just give them a break from their normal pandemic lives for right now. You know what
and
I mean?
They do such a good job. I watched the first night came back out and I sat with Matt and Angela and they do such a wonderful job, those guys, in getting everyone back into work and you know, it's we're proud to know them. You're proud to be, you know, employed by them. The girls are always amazing, but even so, you watch it and you're like, you know, you really can see how much effort, extra effort you have to put in because you've got that space to project, you know, you have to, and they don't speak, you don't sing, you don't, you know, we don't have to wear masks when we perform because I'm singing, and it's, you can see it, it comes across, and it's just such a good show. And yeah, I think the one thing I noticed doing all this is sometimes there can be competition between shows normally, you know, if there's another rock show in town or whatever it is. But I think during the pandemic, everyone's performers wise have come together, and you notice on social media, everybody's sharing anything that anyone's doing. And I've never had that before this. Anybody, you know, is like, oh, someone's going, doing something at Tuscany or the space or wherever it is, and everybody's sharing it. And I think the community's gotten smaller because a lot of people have either had to leave or, you know, think about leaving. Mm-hmm. And everybody's rooting for each other to get back to work, because once more people get back to work, that means, you know, it's a domino effect, and hopefully we'll all get back to work.
Yeah, obviously all Vegas entertainers and, you know, artists of all types everywhere have struggled through this thing. There's something specific about dancers, and I've spoken to a few here in town and written about this a little bit. You know, this is just, I think this is hitting dancers, maybe not harder, but just in a different way, because like Di, you, there's, as a musician, there are other ways for you to express yourself artistically and communicate with your fans and followers and stuff like that. And for dancers, it doesn't necessarily translate, right?
Yeah. And that's absolutely right. You know, for Di, he can work at Carnival Court. It's a little bit easier for him to be able to go and just kind of be the ambient background music. Whereas dancers, you know what I mean? It's, we're not usually the focus of something. So for us, it's a lot harder for us to, you know, find that. And that being said, I know a lot of dancers who have, you know, started seeking other training and other skills or seeking other employment, and myself included. I'm going to cosmetology school, and, you know, it's been a really actually great way for me to go, you know, in case this happens again, you know, and especially as dancers, you know, we, Di will have a voice for a very long time. You know, our bodies don't, might not last as long as, you know, some singers do. So one thing I will say is, though, dancers are finding a really creative way to stay creative, I guess, and to perform. And you see a lot of really cool video projects that are coming out, and a lot of people, you know, doing what they can to feel like they are still expressing themselves and getting to perform and getting to work with people. And I'm really proud of the dance community for doing what they can to stick it out. Oh, and great. You know, and Zoom rehearsals are not easy. Let me tell you, I teach Zoom dance classes, and it's a challenge. It's a huge, like, it's way different than the vibe of being in an actual dance class, but we're getting creative. We're making it work to, like, do our passion, you know?
Di, what is the status now of tenors? Are we just in a holding pattern and hoping it comes back to Planet Hollywood when it can?
I mean, ultimately, yeah, I think there's always lots of options of doing streaming things and but ultimately, unless you're bringing out a new catalog of music every couple of months, it's going to be the same show that you would do nightly here for different audiences. So it's very much just kind of waiting right now, because the room we have at Planet Hollywood is an odd room. It's a little bit like the Expo-esque room at Flamingo in terms of shape, like it's long. Mm-hmm. So it's not much of a depth in terms of, you know, being able to space people. And then with a lot of shows, you know, our size at the current time is financially how viable it is to put the money up to start when you know you might not earn, you know, that back in capital through ticket sales. So it's, I understand it. And I've been lucky. And like I said earlier, I'm a bit of a stickler for not sitting still. So lucky the guys at the space, Mark and Cheryl and everybody have been great with, I've been working there 3-4 shifts a week, and I've really enjoyed it. And it's just nice to be part of a creative process from a different side. I've done a lot of backstage stuff back home in Britain years ago. So it's great work. I enjoy it. It's nice to be around other performers. But then when I watch stuff, I don't ever get jealous. I just look forward to doing it again myself. So, you know, I'm going to work, as I mentioned to you earlier, we're going to work with Mark a little bit. We're trying to get something going on at the space maybe. And it's just adapting to thrive. You know, you just got to think outside the box a little bit and work out that your mental health is okay. So I get to do enough to remember what we're good at doing, but also be earning money at the same time.
You guys hadn't been in that room for too long before everything shut down, were you?
We were in there nearly a year. We opened like April time of the year before that. We were just coming up to 1,000 shows in Vegas. We were crawling up to, we were like 900 and something. Because you get a big check at 1,000, right? You all get like a bonus. gold watch, retirement. Right. But we had just made it work in there, you know, because we had to change the room a lot, and it's quite difficult to find sometimes because of where it is in Planet Hollywood. And it was clicking along nice. And
yeah, it had become really a nice, intimate experience. You know, mm-hmm. one of the great things about Tenors of Rock is that the guys have known each other for so many years, and they're all like best buds outside of the show. So you really, there's so much camaraderie on stage, and you kind of feel like you're a part of that. You kind of feel like you're in on the joke, you know, you kind
That's
of feel
acting.
Like.
That's acting. That's not real.
Well, it's such a big show musically. There's a bunch of you, everybody's performance is big by itself, and
for sure, yeah,
it's a lot of spectacle for a size of room like that.
It works in that room because people get to hear us. It's about the singing more, but I enjoy I don't need to be on a big stage, but I enjoy the production value of a good show. Also, like watching your show from further back, I get more of the picture than I did sitting down the front, mm-hmm. which I also loved because that was great. You know, I enjoy the cinematic kind of cross-arch picture that you get to see. I think ultimately what I'm interested to see, hence why I kind of start to think about a lot of other things. One, because it's healthy too, but also it's going to be interesting to see what version of Vegas is the first year once we're all vaccinated or whatever the protocol is to get back out there. Because it isn't going to be the same. We're not going to see people in Zappos and T-Mobile and the Coliseum, unless it's a smaller show where everyone can spread out. So we talked about moving somewhere else. We spoke about Nashville and just, you know, to have the conversation because it seemed like the smart thing to do at the time. But ultimately, we have to start again anywhere else, same as if we went back home to Britain. It's, again, starting from the bottom again. And we don't need to do that here. We just need to kind of last it out a little bit and keep being creative. So when the doors open, we've got a few things to go.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you need? And we'll give it to you, you know?
Yeah. And if you think about how many talented people like you two there are in Las Vegas that are doing the same thing and getting ready for that comeback, I think it's going to be incredible once we get to that point.
And I think even with what I'm doing now, you'll see people work together that, you know, I'm not in Atomic Saloon and Colin is, and we don't get to perform together anymore unless it's Monday's Dark or something we do at House of Blues or whatever. So it's fun, it's good, and it brings in a different demographic, and it, you know, it's fun to create a brand away from the one thing you're known for. Mm-hmm. Which can also be frustrating too, because they just, particularly for me, it's, you know, you're the guy from Tenors of Rock who screams and his eyeball pop out of his head, and it's like, that's fine, but I want to be able to do other things and show that, you know, there's lots of me to go around.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, Vegas has gone through all kinds of phases, and, you know, including like, you know, taking a hit in tourism from after the shooting. And, you know, I know that it took a hit in, you know, different times with the economy, you know,
2008.
Exactly. And I think also in like 2001 with the 9/11 happening, like, I think, you know, Vegas has seen all kinds of shifts in tourism and the industry itself. But if anything we know about it is that Vegas rebuilds. You know, performers are hungry, performers are here, and they're really resilient. And so I think if anything, you're going to see a really cool new version of Vegas eventually, once we can get back and everyone's still motivated to keep going and to, you know, bring out something new whenever we do come back. So it's, you know, the truth is like, even though not as many people are able to come here right now, I think they're still getting entertained. I think people are still really happy to be here. You know, there's still tourists on the strip. There's still people here, and we're so fortunate to be able to be the few performers in America who are performing live and that get to do that. You know, it's a really incredible experience being back.
One of the few.
And
I think the watching, when I work at the space behind the scenes, you notice the difference between a streaming show that has got no one in the audience, and then when they do have 25 people, the energy just completely soars to the roof, because the people who are watching are so hungry to watch something. They know they're watching a recording. There's a big crane and, you know, the big jibs in the way, and they understand they're basically a television audience watching a show, but they love it. People don't care. People like being a part of that process. They like seeing the other aspects of what's going on to a recording, but then also providing that noise, that thing that we all thrive on, because that's what feeds us to do what we do, you know? And it's exciting to watch. And I think people are going to be so ready to come back out.
Time to break down my weekend show picks for you. I got to stick with the program and tell you to go to Carnival Court at Harrah's Friday or Saturday night to see Original Chaos. The lineup is Die from Tenors of Rock, Colin Cahill from Atomic Saloon Show, and guitarist Chris Caccino and drummer Tim Sorbs from the Rock of Ages show. Super high energy, lots of hits you love. It's going to be a great time. And I think Vin A and his dad Vinny from Bronx Wanderers are going to hit the stage there this weekend too. Why not stay at Harrah's and catch the 7 p.m. or the 10 p.m. showing of X Country at Harrah's Cabaret? Make it a full night. A little country, a little rock and roll, a little Die, a little Olivia. It's all about Harrah's this weekend. And for my last pick, I'll take this Harrah's connection a bit further. One of the last shows I saw there was called Heartbreak Hotel. It was a really innovative Elvis tribute show. And one of the performers for a bit was Colt Julian, who is best known for playing Jerry Lee Lewis in Million Dollar Quartet. He will be singing and playing at the Vegas Room this weekend, just off the strip on East Sahara, and he's doing a tribute to Elton John. So go check out those dinner shows at the Vegas Room, and you will catch some wonderful music. That's it. We are done here. Thank you for listening, and special thanks to Olivia and Di Richards for taking time to speak with me this week. Go subscribe to The Sun on the Strip on Apple Podcasts and let me know how I'm doing with a quick review. Otherwise, visit lasvegassun.com/podcasts for past episodes of the show. I'll see you right back here in 1 week. Take care.